RadioArchives.com presents The Phantom Detective Magazine from Winter 1953. The Staring Killer. The 168th Adventure of the Phantom Detective. Nemesis of Crime by Robert Wallace. Read by Milton Bagby. Desperate for a purpose in life, millionaire playboy Richard Curtis Van Loan dedicates himself to a one-man campaign to rid the nation of organized crime and big-time racketeers. Reborn from the ashes of war, Van Loan returns to find his home in the stranglehold of gangsters and murderers. Donning a domino mask and teaching himself deduction and the art of disguise, he takes on crime single-handedly as the mysterious Phantom Detective. His true identity known only by one person, Van Loan swings his way into mystery, a specially made platinum badge shaped like a domino mask his business card. This master of disguise, deduction, and psychology delivers his own unique brand of law and order to the underworld as the Phantom Detective. And now, the Phantom Detective's pulse-pounding mystery adventure, The Staring Killer. Chapter 1. Leaving the gay shipboard Bon Voyage party, making her way through the towering pier shed toward the taxi-jammed street beneath the elevated West Side Highway in New York, young Muriel Havens had no premonition that she was to be the only witness to a grim murder within the next few minutes. Taxis were lined up in a long, curling queue, awaiting visitors who would soon be coming off the huge liner when the all-ashore signal was given. But Muriel Havens had left the party early because she had an uptown date with Dick Van Loan at 9 o'clock, and it was close to that now. A cab driver spotted her tall, willowy, eye-catching figure and quickly pulled up from the waiting line. "Yes, ma'am," the fellow said, touching his cap, jumping out to open the door. Few New York cab drivers ever bothered with this courtesy, but Muriel had the kind of figure and legs that would have prompted an aged arthritic to climb out of his wheelchair and willingly offer her a ride. And this cabbie was young and virile-looking. Muriel knew that his roving eyes traveled over her as she climbed into the cab. The man's unabashed gaze slid from her face to her momentarily exposed knees as she sat down. Adjusting her skirt, she said, "I'm late." Apparently, he liked what he saw, and he showed no intentions of hurrying. "The Waldorf, please. As I said." She gave him a cool, indifferent stare. "Sure, lady," he said then. "The Waldorf, right." Reluctantly, he slammed the door and went around to get into his seat. Transport trucks were starting out with their heavy cargoes to roll through the night. Big semi-trailer jobs rumbled along the wide riverfront street. Cabs darted in and out between them. There was a chill in the night from the Hudson River. Muriel drew her fur jacket closer around her neck. She had worn the light yellow dress to go dancing later with Van, but coming off the boat, she had felt the dampness of the river cutting through the filmy material. The driver called back. "It'll be quicker up Broadway this time of night." The window was open between front and rear seats. "Lower Broadway's deserted now. Here it's tough." She did not answer, otherwise she would be forced to listen to his conversation all the way uptown. The cabbie swung the cab up a side street, an empty canyon after the noise and confusion of trucks along the waterfront avenue. Somewhere in the distance, Muriel heard the sound of fire sirens. She listened to them absently, her thoughts on the eligible Dick Van Loan. They had not been dancing for quite a while. She loved going with him when he was really his true self, the wealthy man about town, the much sought-after sportsman who caused many young female hearts to flutter in the affluent society in which he traveled. If they only knew, Muriel thought, if those naive, helpless creatures who had been brought up in sheltered wealth ever knew the other life that good-looking Dick Van Loan led...